And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea.
Here it comes, here it comes.
And the dragon gave him his power.
Here it comes, 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 we all.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Poetry Podcast. Woo!
Hey.
I got a treat for you today. I got Miss Chief, Miss the Convention. I got here Kansas City's native herself, built, brought, and raised, and blowing up, Miss Conception. Woo!
Hi. Hello.
How you doing?
That's me.
Nice way of saying it. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good here, all things considered. You know, every day is a new day, a new challenge, but I feel like more positive the further into this we get. So, you know, that's kind of a mind trip when you think about, like, oh, what is actually happening? But we got to stay positive, you know?
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, I wanted you on the show because not only I'm doing a show right now on female rappers, but you have a lot more than just rapping. You have a lot. And I basically went down a resource level. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. So let's get started. Well, let's start off with, let's talk about yourself.
Well, you know, from a young age, I was always like, had this like performer, entertainer bug. And I was always writing songs or poems, and I kind of put it away for a while because I was kind of annoying about it. You know, when you're younger, you're like in elementary, middle school, and you're like, look at me, I can sing, I can dance. And I just felt like it wasn't really nurtured, and I was afraid of it for a long time. I put it away, didn't dance, didn't really perform. And it was in college when I was, I have a journalism degree from the University of Kansas, and I was going to poetry readings and kind of doing some very like dabbling with some improv and spoken word stuff. And somebody kind of gave me the name Misconception. The first piece I ever wrote was called My Main Misconception. And my college roommate was like, oh, I finally get it. You have to like become Misconception in order to do your art well. And I didn't even know that. I was like, wow, that's what I'm doing. And so I started writing more, and I decided at one point, like, if I was going to be a writer and be taken seriously, I wanted to be able to deliver it lyrically properly. And so I started studying the art of hip hop and of flow in general. And it wasn't until I actually started learning how to hula hoop, which sounds kind of bizarre to transition. But it was the hula hoop that like physical motion and physics and connecting with my body that actually allowed me to like open my vocal chakra, if you will, a little bit wider. And that's when I really started flowing and rapping. And I put out my first album in 2008, self-titled Misconception. And I just released my fifth album this year. It's called, what do I call that? Ceremony. And I don't know. I write the lyrics. I don't write any of the music. My friends or different artists give me the music, and I just kind of see what falls out. Hmm. So I've also put out a book. I have a chapbook of poetry, and you know, I've started doing like, I do hula hooping circus stuff. I have a pair of stilts that I walk on occasionally. And fire dancing is something that kind of came into my arsenal. And most recently, mostly what I've been doing is like spoken word, kind of burlesque or variety shows. So that seems to be what I can get booked for. So you
are a burlesque performer, or are you more a circus act performer, carnival?
I would say like I'm more of an MC entertainer, and okay. I happen to get booked because I do have, you know, I have environmental poems and songs.
This is a poem called Epiphany. We walk a fine line, straddling both sides. And sometimes this line divides, but other times it coincides with the divine's eye and eye. See, I walk the line between living green and crime scene, rusted clean, busted sheen at the sweet seams. Calm before the storm is the norm these days, nobody prays, eh? We waste away our days on TV displays while gamma rays all infiltrate our shade with cancer on the brain. And just exactly who is to blame? Would you explain this to me? Do we even think about she, our Mother Earth?
More like radical social justice stuff. And then I've got more sensual, sexy stuff too, erotic poetry, if you will. And so.
Let you predict the next lines. Unwind it slow, be bold. Say all the things we were told not to say, we say them anyway. So won't you come, walk this way, read my lips and swallow.
It just kind of like, I also work with kids a lot, and I do like workshops for kids about how to write, how to save the world poetry. And so obviously every show is tailored to the audience and to what the goal is, what the layering is. I always like to say that I would rather be like performing with a big group of people and just like helping support and lift them up rather than just like doing my own poetry. But in Oakland, I've performed at Tourette's Without Regrets a few times, which is like such an incredible platform. And I've hit up a couple of the open mics, the Berkeley Slam. And so I don't know. It's just wherever the universe takes me. I just like making people smile, you know?
So what got you, since you use fire rings, hula hoops, stilts, et cetera, what got you into doing, is it carnival art or is it circus art? What would you call it?
Yeah, circus art. Yeah, so I was born and raised in Kansas City, went to school here, and I moved back to Kansas City after college from Lawrence, Kansas. And I was just like surrounded by artists, and I've always kind of been like, I don't know, a little offbeat, eccentric, running like with the hippie crowd and the artists and the musicians. And so they were kind of just, we were all swirling around, orbiting each other. And I remember very distinctly, it was around like December 21st, 2012, when there was like all this Mayan prophecy happening, and everyone was like, oh my God, we got to manifest our futures, right? And I'm like a super realist too. So I take this stuff like half seriously and half really silly. Okay. But I like it all. And so I was, I got an invitation to start an art collective basically, and it was called the Vibe Tribe, and it was raising the vibration through music and movement. We were an eccentric collection of artists where it was like poets, painters, DJs, roller skaters, everybody was a part of the Vibe Tribe. And that was kind of the point of it, that it was like community run and driven. And it was inspiring the audience to be a part of the experience was the goal. And we started getting ourselves booked at some music festivals and some different things. Then on December 21st, 2012, we were given an art studio and a bus on the same day. My jaw dropped. I couldn't believe it. And we pretty much ran that project into the ground, as you do when you're a bunch of like young, unexperienced idealists, if you will. And so, yeah, we did that for a couple years, and then I kind of had to let that go. But that's when I started doing the circus art. You know, I was kind of the ringmaster, so I was running all of it on no budget. It was a non-for-profit. We had zero budget. And it started being that like my fire spinner would call in sick, you know, they wouldn't show up because we weren't really getting paid much, frankly. So I just kind of taught myself these skills. I had a fire hula hoop around and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to figure this out. And really it just all comes back to like, I love flow. I love the way creativity works and unravels, and you take like these two concepts and mash them together, and that's where you get the real like genius creativity. And for me, that is what has driven a lot of this.
So being that you're like you said, you're more of an entertainer, MC type and stuff, I also see that you also DJ.
Yeah.
So me being a DJ and stuff, I want to ask you a question. What software are you using?
Yeah, I'm on Serato, you know, a step up from my virtual DJ days. And, you know, I just started DJing because one, I was that person that complained about how much all the DJs sucked. You know, this person, why can't they play this song I want to hear? And it finally dawned on me, like, I should just figure this out. And I'm probably the world's worst DJ, okay? I'm really not great with the blending and the beat matching quite yet, especially not by ear. But I really have a deep love for curating playlists and order of the songs. And so I've been slowly experimenting with making, like, you know, an ecstatic dance playlist or a classic rock mashup. I really love DJing like glitch hop classic rock remixes. You know, for me, so much of this is the art of the mashup. Again, when you can take two very different things that kind of gel and like layer them just so, that's where you get so much magic. But yeah, so I've been just like messing around a little bit with DJing. What do you DJ on?
Serato too. I also do DJ Serato. He's a pioneer DDJ SB3, and I work for a company. Shout outs to Firehouse Entertainment, and I work with their wedding side. So I'm a wedding DJ too. So work with their big old monstrous SZ1 that they use all the time. But it seems like, when did you move out to the Bay Area?
Yeah, I've been there about two and a half years. Maybe almost 3 years. I've quit my job twice to go to Burning Man. Okay. I love Burning Man. I've been like 5 times, and I did it once and then went back to my job. And then finally the last time I was like working kind of remotely, and I was like, I'm going to Burning Man and I'm not coming back. And I had this job lined up after Burning Man, actually at a, it's called the Lupin Lodge, which is like a nudist community in the South Bay. Really solid group of people who live together, and they also have guests that come and visit and be a member, and they have like a hot tub and trails and camping and yurts and stuff, the restaurant. So I love Lupin Lodge. Big shout out to them. They took me in and I did some work trade for them for about 2 months, where I produced an event called Earth Dance. That's also something I've been known to do, is produce events. So it's not my favorite thing, but it can be done. And so I did that for a couple months, and then just like kind of did the California shuffle for a little bit. You like sublet here, do a job there, try to hope you're going to make it. And I ended up getting a job at this faith-based organization in Marin, where now I work there. And so I was able to stay in the lovely coveted Bay Area.
So speaking of, since you're a Kansas City girl and stuff, how was the culture shock?
I think if I hadn't have been, I had been like traveling, I traveled the country for about 3 years in my car before I actually made the leap and moved somewhere. I was like looking at different cities, looking at where I wanted to be, where the community was. And it was very clearly between the Bay Area and New Orleans was the other place that I was like considering uprooting my whole life for. And, you know, there's just something about California, obviously the people, the energy, the like, way people handle trash. It's just so much more conscious. And I don't know, I just have known actually since I was a very young age that I was like drawn to California. I think I made a California playlist mixtape in like eighth grade.
Nice.
And I like listened to it when I was like moving like 10 years later, you know? So I just was drawn to the Bay Area, and it's one of those places that it either like spits you out or it's like, okay, we'll take you. And I'm a hustler, you know, I've always worked a couple jobs, side hustles, doing events, working for photo booths. I delivered granola for this like granola company for a couple of months.
Really? Okay.
Oh, my parents were loving it. They're like, what? You're living at a nudist community delivering granola? Like, they think, they finally now are kind of like, all right, she's got her shit together. But anyways, the culture shock, it's actually more of a culture shock coming back now. Because it's just, you have just such a different way of living and interacting. You know, when I would go to the grocery store in California, I mean, people just a month ago even were like, everyone was in masks, very seriously, stay away from me. And in Kansas, not so much. People are not taking it seriously at all. And it's kind of frightening.
I was looking more in the back of your discography, and I started noticing that I think the last few of your albums, you have Sarah in the album somewhere. Ceremony, Serotonin, Serendipity. I was wondering, I'm assuming that was intentional.
Yeah. I love all of that and linking things together. And, you know, it just kind of, I don't like ever just like plan to sit down and write a song. I take notes constantly on like things I want to remember, things I need to do later, little bits of like fleeting rapture wisdom that come my way. Write that down quick before you forget it. And songs kind of work themselves out to me. It's like all of a sudden I've got a whole slew written about, I don't know, food. And here all of a sudden we've got this song, Food for Thought. And then someone randomly sends me a beat and it's like, oh, that works perfectly with the way that the chorus falls. And I feel like my albums are, they're the product of that. And honestly, it's just kind of like, it hits me in the middle of the night or whatever. Oh yeah, that's what I'm going to call my album. And I was super fortunate to be able to work with the Tenderloin Studios on this last album. They were trying to dial in their mics and get some experience. And so they recorded my album and I helped them out with some promotion and stuff. And otherwise, I don't think that album would have come to fruition.
Really?
But I actually have another album that I'm hoping to record at home that's all parodies. I've written like 12 parody songs that are filled with humor and silliness. So that's going to be kind of my next project that I have.
So let's switch some directions. So you have a book out, a published book called Class Actions, a pop poetry book.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was such a cool project. So there's this bookstore in Kansas City called Prospero's Bookstore. And there was a poet who basically, what she did is she raised the funds for the first poet to be able to produce their book. And then the first 40 copies that that poet sold then went to fund the next poet's book. And so we had, I think there was 24 poets who all got their chapbooks, one a month, each poet then funding the next person. And that book, I was so grateful to be able to put something out like that because I never would have self-published just because of the cost. But at the time, I was like, you know, as we all do, what do I need to go back to school? Maybe I should go to law school. My family is kind of full of lawyers and they've been encouraging me to go to law school for a long time. And I sort of decided, you know what, I'm going to write a poetry book instead. And so I called it Class Action because just to sort of give a nod to my grandfather and the other lawyers in my family. But yeah, that's how that fell out.
And that came out in what, 2015 or 2014?
Yeah, 2015. That sounds about right.
And
I've still got about 20 copies on me. If anyone's interested, I just sell them by mailing them to you.
Okay. And I see you've also, by the Kansas City, the Pitch Best Poet Award you got.
There and they've Beautiful. Just been really wonderful over the years.
Yeah, you are an old soul, Sarah. I mean, you really are.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Well, let's talk about Class Action because this is your first book of poetry,
yeah.
And it's a part of the Prospero's books, the 12
Pop
poets
poetry.
In 12 month sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So
Pop
you're starting
poetry.
Off. Yeah.
Yep. So this is the second year. Jeanette Powers has pulled this together with Jason Ryberg and some of the other Prospero staff, and they're basically producing a poet a month, the same kind of format, but the really cool thing about this project is that the poet from the month before sort of funds the next poet.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
last month's book is why I was able to do mine, and then my event on the 23rd will then fund the next poet for the next month. So it's really a collaborative effort, a really cool thing that Kansas City is bringing together, and I'm just honored to have a book to call my own.
Yeah, had to campaign for that one.
But I bet.
You know how those go. At the time, I was throwing all kinds of shows, and I had such an amazing, I mean, I still have such an amazing community in the Midwest and all of the like music festivals and different workshops that I've led. And so that was quite an honor to take home that year.
Most definitely. So it sounds like you have somewhat of a staple in Kansas City. I got a couple friends that live in California that also say about Kansas City, like, oh yeah, Missouri, Kansas City 5. Like, all right, cool. But what I was gonna say is, you also have you performed with like Tech N9ne or anybody else like that?
God, no, I wish. I mean, I used to open like at the Riot Room for some different acts, and I threw a lot of my own shows that were sort of a collaboration of like all different kinds of like rock and R&B and some jazz, and we'd do some poetry and burlesque and have a juggler Like, I really like taking people from all different tribes and getting them all together in one room and sort of seeing what mashes up there. But I've always kind of felt like I'm a little bit too spiritual and like kooky for the hip hop scene. And I'm a little bit too hip hop for the spiritual scene. And so people have kind of a hard time knowing where to slot me in, is what I've experienced. And largely I've just stopped like chasing that urge to like be booked and be on stage. I used to really, really get a lot of like confidence from that, I guess you could say. And anymore, I kind of just let it come to me. You know, people, I think, know kind of what I do. And if I see a lineup that looks like, you know, that would be cool to be a part of, I ask. But it's not something like going to a bunch of open mics anymore is really tiresome. I used to be an extrovert and I have like totally changed. I'm an introvert now. And it's really weird to witness that shift. But I don't get filled up or get the energy. It's a lot of exertion to go out and chase that kind of scene anymore. And so I try to support other artists when I can. That's how I participate more these days.
Okay, yeah, because I did notice that also on your one sheet or even on your website, you also do promotions, also do marketing, because you do have a degree in journalism, but also with communications and focus communication. So how has that helped with your hustle?
They want to talk too.
I think the mailman or someone ran by and they're just losing their mind. He's like, where is he going? But I was going to ask, how has that helped you along the way with your has your degree helped you along the way with your work and stuff, or just?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it used to be that like I just was promoting myself and my troupe, the Vibe Tribe, and any shows that I had just sort of like on a whim. But so much of what I learned in school about the social networking and making videos and cross promotion really was like a subconscious base for myself promoting my own art. And in so doing that, in promoting my own art, is how I feel like I got better at knowing how to promote other people, which is what has allowed me to keep a steady income, helping friends and also, you know, just off the cuff clients figure out how to manage their social media, how to create content, how to harness other people's created content so that you're supporting them and also getting your message. Really, so much of marketing and communications is just like defining the target audience and cutting through that clutter with just one or two thoughts so that they remember you when it's time to use your services or to use your art, to adapt it, enjoy it. So I've been, all of this has just kind of been like swirling around me, even since I was in high school, when I was like planning high school dances for my youth group. I think I just was really blessed to have such a wonderful family who was also really social and who instilled a lot of confidence in me at a young age. Even just as an employee working at my grandparents' gift store when I was younger, like I've always really enjoyed how to talk and interact with people. And I enjoy bringing people together, people that I love. And so most of what I've done, it's just kind of like, it wasn't even really intentionally planned. It was like a knee-jerk reaction. Like you see a need and, oh God, we got to bring people together. And there's a holiday and we got to celebrate it, you know?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely have to do that all the time. So this part here, I always ask all my guests when they come on. There's a thing in the poetry community where you got the literary poets, basically the people who write in books, the poetry and books, read the books and show the book off. And then you have the stage poet, the people that perform their poetry on stage, you know, performers, rappers, slam poets and stuff. I'm going to ask you, Misconception, what do you feel comfortable, the page, the stage, or both?
I definitely would feel more comfortable on the stage. I'm definitely not a literary poet. I don't write in form so much. It's very organic. And a lot of times I feel like I've been critiqued for my written work. It's songwriter. That's what I feel like more than anything. And so to be able to get on stage and sing your song, to rap it and to know it, to have it memorized and be able to deliver it to the audience and for them to enjoy it, God, it's just the best high in the world. And I've chased a lot of them. And there's nothing better to me than a natural high from performing on stage and people enjoying it, is the catch there.
Nice. Yeah. I found out that you're Jewish, but I've also found out that there are a lot of Jewish rappers out and stuff that are, you know, very inspired, like Drake, Beastie Boys, Mac Miller, Little Dicky. There's a lot of Jewish rappers. Has any of them ever inspired you to do what you do, or just?
Yeah, you know, my like artist life and my Jewish life are kind of two separate things, because I do work in the Jewish community. So I try to have somewhat of a division there. But I always tell people when they ask about my spirituality or my Judaism, it's like, I've felt since I was a little girl that like, there's something divine out there and we are a part of it. And it doesn't matter if it's Judaism or Christianity. My great grandmother was Catholic and I was raised with Christmas and Hanukkah, and I love all of it. I am an open source spiritualist is what I call it. And so I don't write songs to be a Jewish rapper. I've written rap songs that tell the story of Hanukkah. But I'm not trying to sort of cross blend those so much. That being said, I do write very spiritual work. And I would say that rappers like MC Yogi and Modest Yahoo, of course, have been incredible inspirations for where one can go with it. You know, I was also raised in like the hippie jam band scene. And so the art of the jam, if you will, whether it's jamming with instruments or freestyling with rappers, there's just something happens when you are improvising like that. And it's a 50-50 bet. It's either going to be like brilliant inspiration or it's going to not be very good. But that's the risk you take when you're jamming. And I've been trying to teach myself how to freestyle, you know, in the shower, in the car, it comes out great. Something changes when people are listening, of course. But, you know, I would say no more have Jewish rappers inspired me than Atmosphere or Jurassic 5. I remember memorizing Jurassic 5 songs when I was in middle school. Just like, I didn't even know why. I didn't even know what hip hop was. I just knew that I wanted those words to be able to roll off my tongue smooth like that. And that it felt really good. You know, it wasn't until a lot of years later that I was like, I looked back on my life and was like, wow, like, I really liked all of that at a young age, and I didn't even understand it or know why.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, then that comes down to this question here. Since I'm asking, this is a theme for my lady rappers out here. What is your top five rappers?
Gosh, I don't like this question. Like, one, I have a really bad memory. And also I like a lot of different kind of music that just so spread out there. But I would say my top five artists, like for what have influenced me, Jurassic 5, Charlie Tuna, I've met him several times. He's like my hero. I always say if you put Jurassic 5 and Ani DeFranco together, you get one hell of a misconception, because nice. Ani DeFranco is just like lyricist gold. And then I love Atmosphere. He's definitely my favorite rapper lately. And you know, I love jam bands. So like Fish has been a huge inspiration. I know that's like the cheesiest thing I could say as like a hippie chick, but I really like Fish a lot. And then I'm like a huge classic rock, like soul music junkie too. And so music that really fills up my heart is like the Temptations and the Four Tops and like all of that old school stuff that just has that like rock and roll, like pretty lyrics that like have a meaning, that sing in a harmony, like all of that just really fills me up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know the last two. I was like, oh, okay, that's some old school style.
Well, and of course you have like Lauryn Hill and like Erykah Badu. Like I love them. Like as far as like female rappers go, oh my god.
Well, but you, it's like I heard one radio person said that you have an old soul.
You know, old soul, young heart, young at heart.
No doubt. Well, we're going to come down to the closing and stuff, but I'd like to give you time to, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. Well, I'm always on my website at themisconception.com. That's T-H-E-M-I-S-S conception.com. And I also am on Facebook under Misconception, M-I-S-S space conception, not to be confused with the drag queen Misconception from Canada.
Yeah,
he's awesome. He's an awesome badass, and we're friends. But so there's two Misconceptions, and then I guess on Instagram, I'm like, it's like it's Missed Concept, M-I-S-S-E-D Concept, Missed Concept. I'm also on TikTok. I'm on YouTube, Twitter, Bandcamp, all those things, and everything can just be found at my website, themisconception.com. So that's the best place to go there. Please, if you can, check out my music. I've got it for pretty cheap on Bandcamp. It's just like donate what you want, you know. But those five albums are sitting there, and I would rather people hear them and use them for projects or radio shows, whatever y'all got going on, than it just be sitting there.
There you have it, people. Misconception, thank you for coming out. And I'm going to put all that stuff in the show notes below and everything. So why don't y'all take care of yourselves out there. Be safe. From Misconception and me, I'd say peace.
Thanks so much for having me.
Woo!
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. I-A-M-B-I-C-Z-I-N-E. Thank you.